This is Keep It Simple, a weekly discussion of significant issues regarding the Word of God and His people. Our host is Pastor Xavier Reese, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, Pasadena, and the Simple Truths Radio Ministries.
Good day. Welcome to Keep It Simple, weekly internet talk show of the Simple Truths Radio Network with Pastor Xavier Reese, the Ministry of Calvary Chapel in Pasadena, California. Pastor Xavier, we're pleased to be here with you today.
Great. We're looking for a great program here. We're getting into the Word of God and what it has to say.
Amen. Important stuff. And also with us in the studio today, our production engineer, Jonathan Duran.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to episode 110.
Amen.
Yeah.
110 episodes. That's pretty amazing,
yeah.
Isn't it? Also with the studio with us today, from Calvary Chapel in Pasadena, Pastor Diego Festa.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us here today, Diego.
I got nothing else to do.
You're not supposed to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you have been listening for any time to this radio broadcast, or for that matter, any of the programming on our station here, then you have some understanding of our perspective concerning the Bible as it is the Word of God. Pastor Xavier, when we say the Word of God, what do we intend by that statement?
Well, simply what the Bible says. The Bible claims that it is God's revelation of Himself. In other words, everything that's recorded in the Bible, there is no way we would know about it unless God had revealed it to us, particularly in the supernatural of creation, so on and so forth. There are accurate records of history and things that go on. And archaeology as well as history has verified those things over and over again.
Amen. But we have specifically the view of the Bible that it is infallible, inerrant,
right,
and that it is entirely accurate to
yes.
be relied upon
yeah.
as factual.
The entire Old Testament declares to be the revelation of God. The Word of God is perfect. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, mm-hmm. all scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. And then 2 Peter 1:19-21 speaks about the men of old that didn't speak out of their own impulse or origin, but they spoke as they were carried along by the Spirit of God to not only have it revealed, but also to record it as God's inerrant, infallible word.
Amen. Yeah. And one of the things that people need to be careful of as they read the scripture is the Bible will accurately record the opinions of men who are in error or
right,
lying.
Right, right. Everything that's in the Bible is an accurate record. It's divided into two categories. What's accurately recorded as absolute truth, as God reveals it, and absolute accurate quotes that are contrary to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Amen. Amen. And we as the people of God are commanded to take advantage of this resource that God has given us. To what degree, Diego?
2 Timothy 3:16 comes to mind. You know, okay. all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, and just goes on.
So there's a laundry list right there of how we should put it to use.
Yeah. Right. And an example of that is Satan said that he would exalt himself above the throne of God. That's an accurate record of his threats. Doesn't mean it's true.
No, it never
Doesn't
happened.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. Good point. Amen. Well, Pastor Xavier, when we read a historical account in the scripture, and let's say, hypothetically, there's no straightforward doctrine expressed, there's no direction, no do this, don't do that, there are still lessons that can be learned and that we need to learn from a specific account. Are there not?
Absolutely. Jehoshaphat went out and made a compromise, and he went to help the king of the north.
Right.
Idolatrous king, mm-hmm. and God's prophet rebuked him
yes.
for helping the wicked. A historical account, and again you see the natural consequence of man's involvement, because you have a marriage between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of son and daughter, and so where now you're involved emotionally, and you give more favor to your family than to God, and he was rebuked.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, we see a lot of that today.
Absolutely.
Pastor Xavier?
Absolutely.
I mean, we see it in ministry all over the place where there are compromises, powerful mm-hmm. compromises that lead to the hurt and the problems in the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
Because people don't acknowledge they have principles. They have right principles, but then they...
Emotions get in the way.
They do, and they ally themselves with people who don't have those same principles.
Yeah.
And it creates problems. Today, we're planning to spend some time examining a particular city from biblical history. And we're actually, Pastor X, going to ask you to share some of the principles that the Lord intends us to apply from the biblical account. And that place is the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, a city that actually no longer exists right. in the modern world. And the very first place we find a reference in the Bible to Sodom and Gomorrah is in Genesis chapter 10. And this is even before the appearance of Abraham
right.
in the scripture, in the Old Testament. And I have to ask, is Sodom and Gomorrah always portrayed in a negative light in the scripture?
Well, from the scripture, it is. Now, there in Genesis 10, it's just pointed out. But again, it's in the realm of fallen man. They're creating empires and cities for themselves. Nimrod, he had Shinar, Babylon. Mm-hmm. You had the Tower of Babel. It's all in rebellion against God. Once the fall came in, man has rebelled against God. And more so those cities as they play out in progressive historical timeline, we see the gross sin that they were involved in. Now, the whole world has fallen, and there's some people lie, some people steal, but there's sins that God says that these are an abomination.
Amen.
Or these have a greater consequence to society.
Now, is that because they are more damaging and dangerous to people that God characterizes them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it goes against God's creative order and design. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the fact that God hates the human race. He loves the human race. Yeah. He sent his son to die for it. Yeah. But and he understands we're fallen. He understands that we're rebels. But yet he sends his son so that he might transform our hearts. And that we might recalibrate our minds by the revelation of God's standard of his word.
It's interesting, you know, in the account of Sodom and Gomorrah, because we'll get to some of the more dramatic issues in a little bit here. But at the beginning, God even provides deliverance for them through his chosen man, through Abraham.
Right.
At a particular point in the book of Genesis, they're overtaken and actually taken away in captivity. And God provides for their deliverance. And yet, unfortunately, like we see in the world around us, people don't learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mm-hmm. learn from the consequences. In Genesis chapter 13, Lot, Abraham's nephew, looked out into the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, tells us that he thought it was a beautiful, beautiful area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, a lot of speculation nowadays about where the city of Sodom and Gomorrah may have been.
Right.
And I think it's somewhere in the southern part of the Dead Sea area.
They believe it was in the southern end of the Dead Sea. Nothing's ever been found,
yeah.
But there's speculation that it was somewhere down there.
Interesting.
But it's interesting that Lot looked over and he saw these well green water gardens. It's almost like he looked at the desert and saw the lights of Vegas.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
That's it. Exactly.
And it's funny. It's always all this abominable stuff happens in the desert somehow.
Well, you know, the other thing is, of course, 1 John 2:15, you know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's all passing away.
And Eve looked at the fruit and said it was pleasant to the eye. You know?
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right back to Genesis chapter 3.
You have all these raves out in the desert. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Wow, there's scary stuff going on in the desert in California.
Drugs. Yeah.
It's true, unfortunately. It's interesting how in the scripture, certain situations and even places are held up as examples for us to learn from. A great example would be the city of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, God points to the city of Jerusalem as an example for us to learn so many different lessons.
Yes.
And a powerful example. Mm-hmm. Our particular situation, again, Sodom and Gomorrah is singled out as an example as well. And we probably should go into some detail as to why exactly it's looked upon in the way it is. And that kind of revolves around God's accusation against it in the book of Genesis as the Lord meets with Abraham, his servant.
Yes, yes. Well, God appears to Abraham, as you know, and he reveals to Abraham that he's going to give him an heir in that. And then he says he's going to go down Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw the wickedness come up before him. And God sends a couple of angels down there, and they enter the Sodom and Gomorrah. And they find Lot at the city gate. You know, he was first looking towards Sodom and moved towards that way. And all of a sudden we see him now in the gate as a judge.
It's like a progression.
Because the gates were where the judges were at. Amen. That's where they tried everything in this sort of like the city government, if you will. And he knows the evil of the city, for he says, you cannot stay in the street. Come to my house.
Yeah.
And when they get there, you know, the homosexual community of Sodom and Gomorrah came and they said, let us bring out these men that we may know them carnally, sexually. Mm-hmm. Abraham was, or Lot was so appalled that he even offered his virgin daughters that they might do to them as they wish. Because under that culture, you were responsible for the protection and life of the individual you brought under your roof.
Amen.
To us, it's abhorrent. We got to look at the cultural background. Yeah. The evil was there. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude tells us that a righteous Lot afflicted his soul. I still don't know what it means by righteous Lot.
Yeah.
It just, so I just leave it there. But he chose to go there. And sometimes Christians choose to live at the edge of the boundaries. Or in dark places, to their own hurt.
Amen.
As we see, Lot's family, his two daughters were so corrupt, when they left, they ended up sleeping with them, getting drunk so they can have a baby because they thought God destroyed the whole world.
Yeah.
When Lot went to his in-laws, his son-in-law, to tell him what God was going to do to judge the city, he just laughed at him, mocked at him. Yeah. He lost his witness, his credibility.
Yeah. And, you know, that should be a great witness to us as believers concerning this issue of compromise, that God intends for us to move ourselves as far away from the evil of this world as we possibly can. And as you said, so many believers entertain this perspective.
And you know, the enemy can't separate you from God, but he can sure mess up your witness and you know, put situations where you allow yourself to get into these places and now you find yourself like Lot.
Or present you with attractive choices where you want to separate yourself from God. And that's what happens to so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The standard's always been the same. God is holy and his people are to be holy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Doesn't mean that we're better than anybody. We all came out of the world. God does all his fishing in the sewer.
Yeah.
But once he picks you up and cleans you, you're cleansed.
Yeah.
But there's a change of life through a change of heart, through the new birth. And we are to walk in that holiness,
it's
depending
that
on the Lord.
That set apart life.
Yeah. And but it. So the world's always trying to make us compromise. And the times the people within the church begin to become very worldly and they want to pass it off as spirituality, saying, well, this way we can communicate and relate to the people in the world, and they don't think that we think we're better, but this way we can bring them to Christ. Well, it's like saying that you have to take drugs to help a guy that's in drugs, or get involved in adulterous affairs so you can be compassionate towards the one that is an adulterer. That's ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. And there's a total absence of any instruction in that direction in the scripture.
Right.
Be holy because I am holy. That's what the Lord tells us.
Don't be unequally yoked.
Amen.
Come out from among them. Light and darkness have no unity.
It's almost like God wants us to appear dramatically different.
Right.
To people in the world instead of be like they are. You know, the example of the city is, again, it's so extreme. As you were sharing the narrative there, Pastor Xavier, about what transpired as the angels went into the city of Sodom, that the people that pursued these angels, this was not a small group.
No.
These were all the men of the city, from the greatest to the least.
Yeah.
This was the common conduct of the entire situation.
Even after they were blinded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the wild. That's really crazy.
And that goes to show you the vile passion of these men. That even though God had blinded them, the angels here blinded them to not be able to extract the men, that they were still attempting to find the door.
Yeah.
When drug addicts are so bound by the drug, they will sell their mother. Mm-hmm. To get money.
Yeah, they'll do anything.
When a person's a slave to pornography, to sex, okay? Everybody calls it addictions today. They're sins.
Yeah.
They're sins that mar your life, and they just defeat your life. They destroy your life. Addiction is when you begin to drink and you get addicted, then you get cirrhosis of the liver. But it's not an addiction. It's not a sickness. You've inflicted it upon yourself.
Amen.
That's sin. That's the cause of sin. You're walking in life and you grow up and all of a sudden you get cancer of the lungs. That's an illness. That's a sickness through the fall. It's not the perfect creation before. But if you go out and you drink and then you get cirrhosis of the liver, you get a stroke, you've inflicted this disease on yourself by your practice of drinking and becoming an alcoholic. There's a big difference.
Yeah, huge. And it would seem to me that part of the thinking behind the changing of those terms is that people, sociologists and people in control, they want to remove God from the equation.
Of course, the sociologists, psychologists, they lower your inhibition, so this way you don't feel as bad.
Right.
And much of that has come into the Christian community, and they want to be okay with the academic echelons, and so they follow the dysfunctional, codependent, enabler, all this medical model that's transferred to the church of the Lord. That is not an equal parallel. Absolutely not. It's compromise and it dilutes God's word.
Amen. And if it's a sickness, then you're not responsible.
And that's right. That's important to them. Absolutely. Yeah. They want to remove responsibility so they can help you. The city is such a powerful witness, of course, that the physical act of homosexuality is named for the city, sodomy.
That's right.
And, the Lord wants us to learn from these lessons. We come to a place in our current culture today that this kind, at least in the Western world, where this kind of activity is looked upon as completely acceptable by many people in the Western world.
Yes.
And I was going to say the majority. I don't know that that's true.
Yeah, I don't think it is. But there's people that are definitely for homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And others, because of the sympathetic, humanistic, compatible compassion for man, to accept everybody in the philosophy that we're all just the same and we can learn from each other and we shouldn't make judgments and value judgments, which is the philosophy of relativism, situational ethics. And we've left objective truths back in the last century. And so now people can't tell black from white.
Everybody's going at it by feeling.
Right, right. Yeah. But the Bible is very, very clear. The Bible's objective truth, propositional truth, that stands as absolute truth, right and wrong, through every generation, through every century. Cultures will differ. Bible doesn't differ.
Amen.
It's always the same. And it's very clear, as it is in great detail, in the law that tells you about homosexuality.
Yeah. And one of the crazy things with that in mind is the fact that biology, scientific biology, backs up the perspective, homosexuality cannot reproduce.
Right.
There is no reproduction involved in the homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It contradicts the whole the command of God to create
procreate
and to multiply in the earth. Two males cannot bring forth a child. You can adopt. You can, as two women, you can be artificially inseminated, but you can't. Two women don't produce. Two men do not produce. If that was the norm for the human race, it wouldn't exist past the first generation.
And there are all kinds of horrific challenges and problems.
Physiologically, it is a horrendous lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The complications medically, we can't even discuss here.
No, but you look at this raw statistics.
Yeah.
They're there. And mm-hmm. and not only that, psychologically and mentally, mm-hmm. in the lifestyle of these people.
Statistically, the suicide rates are very high.
Much higher. Well, they're higher for people involved in the homosexual lifestyle, mm-hmm. and then for people in transgender, and then people who have gone under chemical or even surgical procedures, yes, much higher. Suicide rates go off, out the roof.
Kind of bouncing off the whole trans thing, you know, I've noticed more, especially out here in California, you know, we're very liberal, and you see more trans employees, you know, at places where you go shop or buy groceries or whatnot. And I was just remembering as a kid, you know, in my shorter lifetime, 20, 25 years ago, it was a big deal at the mall or behind the makeup counter. If you saw a guy,
yes,
that was kind of a big thing at the time in the 90s.
Yeah.
And now 20, 25 years later, now the new norm now is they're trying to push the whole transgender.
Very
agenda.
Common.
Yeah. I just, it kind of hit me.
Yeah. You know, if you look at the laws, sodomy was, illegal against the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were thrown in jail. You were prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I bet you they're still on the law books.
And
they're just ignored.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Pretty tragic. Now, here's the interesting thing for you and I as believers. We have an understanding. We need to have an understanding. As a believer in Christ, a person who believes in the Bible, can I hold the perspective that it is okay for a person to follow a homosexual lifestyle?
No, not any more than a person to follow a lifestyle of fornication
or
adultery or
thievery
or taking drugs or anything else.
Amen.
It's just one more act of sin. Now, we have to distinguish that some acts of sin have lesser consequences to the individual, to families, to society,
culture,
to the culture, to the nation than others.
Yeah.
And so that is not being a hypocrite. That's just looking at the measure of consequences. If I tell a lie about, you know, whether I went to work or not that day, that's one thing. If I tell a lie whether I stole $10,000 from the work employment that I went that day or not, that's a whole different matter. The consequences are different.
Amen.
And the same thing. So we have to mark the value of the sin in terms of the destruction, the pain, the suffering.
And it's unfortunate because as our culture here in the West continues to support and ratify and build up the perspective that people from these alternative lifestyles are just exactly like everybody else. They're not to be looked upon in any different light. What happens is they lose the ability, the culture as a whole loses the ability to engage on behalf of those people,
yes,
to help them.
Yes.
I was looking actually at a news story today. There was an app for a smartphone that was providing counseling and input for people who want to actually move away from the homosexual lifestyle. And the people are, there's this huge outcry that it needs to be removed.
Yeah,
you know, we can't encourage people to move away from the homosexual lifestyle. Why? Because according to the modern culture, mm-hmm, homosexuality is perfectly normal.
Sure.
So we can no longer provide help and encouragement to those people who are suffering, unfortunately.
And again, all of this is a result of the rejection of God.
Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
And his word.
Yeah.
And so you challenge God's revelation. It's happened in different cultures. It's happened in past centuries. It's just happening in a very weird way here in the United States now, but not only the state, but the world.
Yeah.
So the problems that we're incurring are not local, regional, or national, but they are really worldwide. It's a global problem. And again, it's the Bible tells us that in the latter times, men are going to get worse before the Lord returns. Speaks about the days of Noah, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand this. Now, if you're out there listening somewhere in the world, we want to make sure you understand that God does not hate the homosexual any more than he would any other sinner. God is holy and he hates sin, and he's given a remedy for sin. And whatever level a person is living in sin, God is able to forgive and to cleanse and to reaffirm the original creation that God has for them, even though we are a fallen people.
Amen.
God is able to do that by the grace of God miraculously. This is not a natural process. This is not because we're so smart or because we just understand human nature and everything. It is a miracle of God. He transformed the life of Paul, who used to kill Christians, used to imprison Christians. Many of the Gentiles that Paul preached to throughout Greece, they came out of horrific sexual backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Greek culture was absorbed by Rome, and homosexuality was embraced and didn't consider it to be evil in the Greek culture.
Yeah, and certainly pedophilia and victimization of women. This is not a new thing to our world. This has been going on for thousands of years.
Yep.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, and Pastor Xavier, as you mentioned, you know, there are many people from our church body here in Pasadena who have come out of the homosexual lifestyle. And some of them, God will bring them, you know, to a place where they will actually have perhaps a heterosexual relationship. They'll be married and go forward in that. Some people maybe never will.
Right.
Maybe never will be engaged in a marriage relationship mm-hmm. as such. But God has a plan for them.
But they align themselves with their creative design.
Amen.
Male and female, okay? And God gives you the equipment of male and female.
Amen.
There is no third category, none whatsoever.
I mean, there are deformities and things that take place just like with anything
because
else.
Of the fall.
Right, exactly.
And there was a time in the medical community when they would do the testing of the hormones and everything else, and whichever way the chemical and of that person leaned more to, then they produced it and leaned it towards that direction.
Right.
That's just a weird thing that happens in the fallen creation.
Yes.
Because of sin. Okay. But it's not that God designed that. It's the consequences of the fall.
Amen. Amen. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Keep It Simple. And we'll be right back with you after these messages.
Who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, Jesus said. And the rain fell, and the floods came, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Pastor Xavier Rees says by allowing the Lord's wisdom to guide us in our relationships, decisions, and priorities, we find that he provides the most trustworthy foundation any life could be built upon. And that's why he's presenting a teaching series on the basic foundations for the Christian faith. In it, he explains the importance of the Word of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the function of prayer and worship, and so much more. The Basic Foundations for the Christian Faith is a 12-message series available on audio CD for $32 or an MP3 disc for just $10 in the online store of Calvary Chapel, Pasadena. Look for the Basic Foundations for the Christian Faith series when you browse the online store at calvarychapelpasadena.com. Now available in the online store at calvarychapelpasadena.com. It's the complete verse-by-verse audio commentary of the Scriptures, from Genesis through Revelation, taught by Pastor Xavier Rees from Calvary Chapel Pasadena's pulpit. Over 600 messages spanning the entire Bible. You'll receive the complete series in MP3 format, contained on a single reusable USB flash drive that's both PC and Mac compatible for just $39.99. It's the simple truths of God's Word, a commentary of all 66 books, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, compiled together in one convenient flash drive, ready to be loaded onto your computer or mobile device. Hear and study the Word of God at your own pace, anytime, anywhere. That's the verse-by-verse audio commentary of the entire Bible by Pastor Xavier Rees, contained on one PC Mac-compatible flash drive for just $39.99. Look for it in the audio messages section of the online store at calvarychapelpasadena.com. That's calvarychapelpasadena.com. We return now to Keep It Simple and this week's discussion, Addressing Issues of Consequence for the Church, hosted by Pastor Xavier Rees of Calvary Chapel, Pasadena.
And you're back with us here at Keep It Simple. Today we're discussing the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, some of the cultural issues that come out of the lesson from the book of Genesis and the Lord's commentary on that city and on those lifestyles. With us again in the studio today,
Pastor
Diego Festa.
Good morning.
Amen.
Good
Thanks for being here with us, yeah. Diego. Pastor X, you know, the changes in our current culture, the way that our world has sort of turned upside down in the last 50 years, let's say. It's taken longer than that. The seeds were sown a long time ago, way back. But we have seen in the last 25, 30 years, a very quick change to the mindset of people, the way things are portrayed. It's interesting, the popular media in our world, computer, television, radio, movies, all of those things, print media, all those things, it's interesting, they get a particular social issue to a place where it's almost at a tipping point. For instance, an example, the issue of homosexual marriage. People in the state of California, one of the most liberal, progressive states in the United States, voted twice to oppose homosexual marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And both times, the voters in the state of California denied the right for homosexual marriage to go forward.
Right.
The courts of the state of California overruled that. And now the popular media, everything from computers, television, movies, et cetera, proceed as if it were the popular perspective that homosexuality is.
And it is now. They're imposing their their corrupt view, their liberal view upon the populace.
Amen.
I think the first time we... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The first time we voted for that was at around 2008, around there. I think it was right before Obama.
It was before. I think it was before
that. It was before that. Yeah. Way before that.
Maybe 2007, something like that.
Way before that. And again, the Trojan horse to all of this is the academic universities.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the educational institutions that young people's minds are formed and shaped. And we've gone from a nation of patriotism, of the Christian Judeo values, to that of humanists, denying God, being a direct opponent of God.
Yes.
And so you look to yourself and to the academic world, and so every year you march out your liberal, progressive liberals. And as it continues down this chronological line, they get more liberal and more radical. And then they come out and they take posts of judges, lawyers, news media, and all those other agencies become the enforcers, the militant multitude to oppress and to pressure and to punish those who do not agree with them.
It's interesting, the point you make there, there is a whole huge group that is trying to move the culture away from God entirely, to deny God, to deny any kind of involvement. But at the same time, there is another group that is trying to bring the corruption of truth into the Church of Christ.
Yes.
To include in the church these compromised ideas that we see. And actually that has been at work in our culture
and
for a
while. And it's more dangerous than the society. I mean, we know where society is.
Why? Why is it more dangerous?
Because it's infiltrating it. It's like when somebody within your house is the one that's trying to destroy it.
Exactly.
You know, somebody's outside. Well, they got to get through the door before. But once they're in the house, now you have a problem.
And the thing is the central issue to the whole argument goes back to the scripture.
Right.
Well, last year, then they tried to pass that bill where in California where we couldn't counsel somebody outside out of the lifestyle.
That's right.
And it ended up dropping, right? On,
they did.
Thank God.
But trust me, it's going to come back. Amen.
Yeah, it's that ongoing
And it will make
battle.
It illegal for you to counsel anybody contrary to their homosexual inclination.
That slippery slope.
Yeah. And this is, again, the idea, and Pastor Xavier, I know you've heard this over and over again, that, you know, God made me gay.
Right.
The idea that these people were created in this condition, which is, again, totally contrary to the scriptural. The reality is we live in a fallen world, and all of us, believers and non-believers, we're all fallen. Our inclinations, our natural inclinations are going to be contrary to the word of God.
Yes.
So you may be attracted to the same sex, but that doesn't mean that that was God's plan for your life.
Right. And it's like anything, any sin. You know, if I all of a sudden become attractive to a woman that is not my wife, you know, there's a problem there. I mean, and my feelings might be correct. And I might think that this is it, but there's a right and there's a wrong.
Amen. When you say your feelings might be correct, you mean they might be, that's what you accurately feel.
Yeah.
It's inaccurate, but it's not the right thing.
And the whole culture is pushed into the feeling mentality.
Yes.
The first thing that people ask, how do you feel? Well, your emotions are deceptive. Your emotions are selfish. They're self-centered. Mm-hmm. That's why parents have to correct their children. That's why they're called children. The parents know better, and they're adult, and they don't live by emotions. They make decisions based on truth and value judgments to make sure that your child is living and acting and making decisions that are going to be beneficial for them and not destructive for them. It's simple.
It's interesting, that question, how do you feel about this? Used to be the thing that you were only asked in the psychologist's office.
Right.
And now, when you stand before the judge in the court, he's asking you, how do you feel about this situation? Because it's become the highest moral perspective for the culture.
Well, you know, a man may say, well, I feel that I'm a woman. Okay, but you have the body of a man. All right? So why is it that you can't, if you're 19 years old, why is it that you can't say you're 65 years old if you feel it?
Well, Pastor Xavier, there is a huge debate going on right now in the academic world, in the philosophical community, over whether you can base your racial profile on how you feel or how you see yourself. And the thing is that sexuality, they've all embraced that.
Right.
You can be male, female, half or whole or LGBTQ, whatever. But your race, you can't.
Especially if you touch specific races.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Because the reason is that the whole movement of this progressive lockstep progress into our culture is based upon the racial issue. And
that's
they
right.
cannot corrupt their own argument.
That's right. And they're very selective. You know what I mean?
It is.
I mean, why is it that you can't? You're 65, you're 19. Well, society's not going to do it. What does this do to... A very basic, important fact is public records, okay, that you can retire at 66. So you feel you're 66, so now you're going to force Social Security to give you your Social Security now. How about the fact that you can go and right now you can go down to City Hall or the Hall of Records and you can change your birth certificate. Mm-hmm. About your sexuality.
Legally, this is happening.
What is that going to do
to public records? The issue with that is that if you are in a terrible car accident, you end up in the emergency room, it's not going to matter how you feel. They're going to look at you biologically and physiologically.
And they're going to treat you accordingly.
Objective truth.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Pastor X, again, as we're talking about the movement into the church. This really started back in the 1950s. There was... a detailed defense launched against God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. In the academic community, there was a particular professor of theology who taught that God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was not because of the homosexuality or the sexually immoral nature of the city. Had you heard that?
Yeah. And again, that's the liberal aspect of the church. And so you have the German school of neo-Orthodox that infiltrated the seminaries. Fuller Seminary is one of them, and others.
Well, most seminaries, unfortunately.
The majority of them. Yeah. And so therefore they start pumping out all these liberal theologians that they study to criticize the Bible and to make judgments on the Bible, but they don't study the Bible.
And to discredit the Scripture.
That's right, because they don't believe it's God's Word.
Now, their claim was that God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was because they were inhospitable. Is there any scriptural foundation for that?
Well, if you read the 19th chapter of Genesis, you would never get that understanding. It's very clear that their request was to know them sexually.
Amen. Especially when he offers their virgin daughters.
That's
the context tells you.
And Lot says, don't do this vile thing, this horrible thing. Very, very clear. Once again, that is not how God created Adam and Eve to relate sexually. The physiological aspects are not lent to that.
Amen.
There's entrance points and there's exit points, and we must make a distinction.
And that's very specific.
Two.
That's very important stuff.
If you go on the freeway, you enter the freeway at an exit direction. you're going to get killed.
Amen.
It's real simple.
Amen. Yeah. You know, we hear, again, with reference to that argument, we hear all kinds of other confusion interjected into the issue, ancient language, misunderstandings, and there's really no good reason for us to look at the clear sense, the plain intent of the narrative in Genesis there and see it any other way.
Not only are the words, and people, I've heard that argument, well, the word homosexuality doesn't really mean that. That's a lie from hell.
Amen.
Okay? You're being dishonest. And if you're out there listening, listen carefully. The Bible's so clear that in the Old Testament, God goes out of his way to describe what he's talking about. A male shall not lay with another male as he lays with a woman. When a male lays with a woman, he lays with a woman, and the word lay has a connotation, the metaphor of having sexual intercourse. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if a male lays with a male or a female with another female to accomplish such an act, God says that he does not permit. First, because of the design of male and female and the purpose of them, that they would become one through the institution of marriage, procreate, and establish society and companionship. That does not happen with a homosexual relationship. As much as they want to say it does not. The relationships of such individuals is more violent, greater statistics of suicide, everything. Amen. So people are just very deceptive today, particularly the academic world, Hollyweird, and everything else.
Yeah. It's interesting that the undermining of this moral perspective, it's so important for them to undermine the scripture.
Yes.
At every step. They want to remove the word of God from the entire issue.
And we've reached a point in the United States where they can accomplish that.
To a great degree, yeah.
To a great degree. Because you've had this liberal agenda, and Americans have become less God-conscious. America has allowed more foreign immigration without proper immigration. And therefore, these people bring their perspective of liberalism, socialism, Marxism, and impose it upon the nation. And now they even can vote and get into public office to affect the direction of a nation.
We should probably say a few words about that immigration issue, because when immigration is properly administrated by the government, it's a really positive thing.
Oh, yeah.
It is really positive.
But there's rules.
I have to tell you, when my kids were small, we went to a school here in Pasadena, and the counselors told my wife that my kids should go into the bilingual class. And the reason was that most of the kids in that class, coming from Spanish-speaking families, had two parents at home. Whereas in the normal English-speaking class, they were mostly from single-parent families. And the kids in the bilingual class conducted themselves much more orderly. Now, these are people who came into the United States legally and came into the country. And you know, we're all for immigration. The United States is great because of immigration. But if there's no administration and control.
The laws of immigration are still in the books.
Amen.
We have a certain amount that we allow in. We look for quality people. They're going to benefit the country. People that love the nation. Not that hate the nation. People that are going to bring benefit.
Amen.
And you know, the thing is that applies to everyone coming into this country except through the southern border in that sense. Because if you're coming from anywhere in the world to the United States, those things apply. Right. You want to get a visa, they're going to look
into that. And every other nation in the world, no other nation in the world will allow anybody, anybody to be in that country for more than 6 to 10 weeks of their visa. If you cannot prove that you don't have a job, they kick you out. Mm-hmm. They're not going to pay your medical. They're not going to pay your housing. They're not going to pay your food. But the whole world wants to impose that upon our nation now because of the deterioration of our Constitution. We've moved away from the Republic, and we are now in the state of anarchy. At a low level with the administration of President Obama, oligarchy. Now we've moved them to anarchy. And the followers heard the orders, and they are in effect.
You know, Pastor Xavier, this past weekend I attended a wedding that you officiated at. And one of the things you shared during the marriage ceremony was the importance of the family as really being, I mean, next to the scripture, the functional family, God's pattern for the family is foundational for the moral perspective of the entire culture. What a powerful thing that is.
Yes, the nucleus of society, the family.
Amen. And unfortunately, we see here in Sodom and Gomorrah played out in our culture is the erosion, how that has just disappeared. And it reflects in the total absence of absolute truth, of being able to see objective truth in the world around you. You know, the scripture says, and I think you made reference to this a few minutes ago, that deceivers will wax worse and worse.
Yeah.
Things get.
Yeah.
And so this situation in our culture where a person's gender, their sexuality is up for debate from one day to the next, what does that say about our culture as a whole?
Well, again, the lack of value and objective truth has permeated our society and our nation so much that now they have taken hold in positions of authority and power. And so they're no longer trying to influence. They now have moved into the physical, violent point of forcing you.
Yeah.
And if it continues long, and we don't know how long that will be, then it will be legislative against a person.
Yeah.
And pretty soon you will become a lawbreaker against those who want to force you to accept their moral values.
You have to validate.
It's interesting the liberals they talk about diversity and redefine it. Diversity means different. They take diversity and they say it means the same.
Right.
It does not. Diversity is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've created this whole corrupt philosophical way of life by redefining terms.
You need to be diverse, just like us.
Yes.
Exactly.
And if they are so tolerant, then they should be tolerant to me wanting to worship Jesus Christ as a Christian. Yeah.
What they really mean is being different from Christians. You know,
that's
what they mean.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the things, Pastor Xavier, you've been speaking to us here in the staff about in the last few days is this horrific new law in the state of New York.
Yes.
That's an evidence of where everything has gone.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, you stop and think in 1973, Roe versus Wade. And that was a huge thing.
Yes.
And now we're at the point to where New York says you can kill a baby 9 months old in the womb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a perfectly viable human being.
Perfectly viable. Yeah. And again, 3-4 days, you're killing a human being. It's not tissue.
Yeah.
And doctors know that. If anybody knows it, they know it. And yet we keep, that's why it's called progressivism.
Yeah.
You just keep pushing the envelope to the point where it's very evident what your agenda is.
You know, Pastor Diego, one of the things, looking at the scripture, just from the scripture alone, we see the importance of this whole example of Sodom and Gomorrah. As it shows up so consistently through the New Testament, all over the New Testament, the experience and the situation of God's judgment against this city is shown up in probably 10 different references in the New Testament, at least. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the promoters of this injustice have used any and every opportunity to twist and abuse any possible information or scientific or otherwise. Is there any kind of genetic research that we know of that should lead us to believe that homosexual or transgender conduct is built into a person naturally? Anything that you've seen?
No. I mean, if there's anything, if any, I guess you want to call it genetic predisposition, like Xavier was saying earlier, it's the result of the fall.
Right.
That's what it is. Just like anything else. I mean, the choices we make and the things we do, it's our fallen nature and the decisions we make. And until I come to a personal knowledge of Christ as Lord and Savior, and he changes my life, you know, even then, you know, I still make bad choices. I recognize it for what it is.
Amen. You know, as believers in the anti-Christian culture war needs to identify, they need to identify us as militant gay haters.
Right.
They need to see us that way.
Sure.
You know, which is absolutely untrue. People, they want us to be seen as people who reject all biblical truth. And the important thing for you as a believer today, if you're listening to us over the radio, God has a calling upon your life. You're going to come in contact with people who have dramatically different perspectives than you. And you need to know where Christ wants you to be in terms of how you relate to them and what your perspective to be and how the love of God can shine through a situation like that. Very important.
And the scriptures are very clear that we live in the world, but not of the world. And we understand that, again, various degrees of sin go on. But we're not going to approve of it. But we're not going to force you to become a Christian. There is no attempt to force anybody to accept Christ Jesus. It is a choice that you make. Mm-hmm. In fact, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous, extortioners, idolaters. For then you have need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous, an idolater, reviler, or drunkard, or extortioner, or even to eat with such a person. So he's very clear that our judgment is really against those who say they're Christians and are still living in sin.
Amen.
The world is in sin. We used to be there.
Yeah.
And so we understand that. So God's love is to preach the gospel that God, through the conviction of the Spirit of God, they can repent and come to Him. But that's a choice of the individual. We're not there to force anybody, none whatsoever.
So the scripture doesn't even enjoin me to separate myself unnecessarily from immoral people.
No, and when he says that, he's talking about, you know, when we go to work, in the regular work, you're going to have homosexuals, you're going to have fornicators,
Amen.
You're going to have adults,
yeah.
you're going to have liars, everything else. You can't remove yourself from there, but I can make a choice not to agree or to partake or go along with that lifestyle.
Amen.
And you know, you mentioned 1 Corinthians 5 there, the next chapter, he reminds them where they came from.
Yeah.
And he goes down the list of all these sins, homosexuality.
And such were some of you.
Yeah. You were sanctified. You
right.
were justified.
Right.
And there, we're all sinners.
Right.
We're all came, like you say, we all came from the same sewer.
Yeah. And so, you know, but definitely God makes a distinction between sins.
Yeah.
Some will affect a person more than others. Some will affect families and society more than others.
Yeah, if I steal a candy bar is one thing. If I rob a bank.
That's right.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. You know, if the Bible is the truth, and obviously we believe it is, then we are doing everything in our power, everything that we can to help people who were caught in this mess in the LGBT community because their lifestyle is hurting themselves.
First them, then others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. It has powerful implications to hurt the world. We, as believers in Christ, God has not charged us with a responsibility to change our culture.
No.
That's not our focus.
God changes hearts one at a time.
Amen.
And the majority of the human race is not going to repent from their sins.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
That's a sad thing, but it is what the scripture tells us as true. You know, the way is narrow.
God judged the world. He preached the whole world through Noah for 100 years, 120 years. Only 8 people repented.
Amen.
The rest perished.
Amen. So we're doing much better than Noah so
yeah.
far. We've had a lot more people who have repented and turned to Christ, but
yeah.
that's largely because of the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're out there, just be light, be salt. That doesn't mean you don't say anything, but sometimes God would have you just to be that example. And when necessary, use words. But it's important that you live that life and that you'll be able to share the life transformation that has come through the power of the gospel and that God loves the sinner, and that's why he sent the Son, and that each person has to make that decision. No one can be forced to go to heaven. We certainly don't want to force anybody. I don't want to force anybody to believe the way I do. I tell them how I believe and why I believe, and it's up to them what they want to believe. and what they believe will determine whether they end up in heaven or in hell. Amen. That's a choice that people make.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Xavier, I'm sure we can assume there are people out there in the community listening to this broadcast today who've either come out of the homosexual lifestyle, or people who are inclined, feel inclined in that direction, whether it's because of the community, people they hang out with, or whatever the case may be. What should we tell them?
That God loves you, man. Amen. And God wants you to repent of your sin, call upon him, and he can make a new creation of you, give you a new heart, give you the spirit, and make you a child of God. Mm-hmm. Because he loves you. He died for you. He took God's wrath, the Father's wrath, in your place. He died in your place, and he rose from the dead to affirm the effectiveness of that atonement, to justify you before God. And you can be saved by grace through faith. Faith always leads you to the revelation of God. You believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he accomplished, and how he can transform your life.
And that is the miracle. That is the amazing thing to see a life changed. And the Lord, only the Lord can do that. I mean, people reform people, and people have plans to change the lives, but Jesus is the one who changed you from the inside out.
Yeah.
You want to know love, look to Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Behavioral modification is quite inferior to biblical transformation.
Amen.
Behavioral modification may alter your life in a certain way, but then you're going to die. Where are you going to go? The Bible says you go to hell without Christ.
Amen.
Biblical transformation gives you eternal life because of the forgiveness of your sins. God bless you guys. Keep it simple.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple with your host, Pastor Xavier Rees, on Simple Truths Radio. We hope today's broadcast has informed, encouraged, and challenged you in your own personal walk with Christ. For more information regarding Simple Truths Radio Ministries or Calvary Chapel Pasadena, please visit calvarychapelpasadena.com. We hope you'll be back for our next discussion, and may God richly bless your day.